listened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Karen, go ahead.
Okay. Greetings, Zion.
Man.
Okay. What came to me in an email was a discussion of a new, I don't know if it's a new science. Yeah, they're trying to say it's a new science of biocentrism. And they say the biocentric theory proposed by American scientist Robert Lanza builds on quantum physics. His theory places biology before the other science in an attempt to solve one of nature's biggest puzzles, the theory of everything. And I guess it's basically, the title of the article I was reading was Death, Does It Really Exist? New Theory Says No. So they're supposedly saying that this biocentrism says that death does not exist, but there's an interesting statement here where he says, and Ian will love this if I can say it. Oh, find it. Lanza argues that biocentrism is falsifiable and that future experiments such as scaled-up superposition, whatever that is, will either support or contradict the theory. So he's trying to, you know, falsify this, and if you can't falsify it, then it exists.
The secret, you're asking a question, but let's answer it this way. The issue with the problem, or the, we don't want to say problem, we'll say hypothesis.
Right.
The issue is that you don't have a biocentrifugal field.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would go at it from a field, then they could take what you call a litmus of gauging how far away or close to you can pull the quantum side or a physicist view into the dimension that they're trying to prove and to disprove. So if they can't disprove it, then it is. But if it would be like, let's just break it back down. If you were going to take and cut something off Bob, okay, you'd lay out everything together and you'd get it organized and you'd look at it and you'd poke at it and you'd figure out what you're going to do, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But before you ever did anything, you would know where your sterile field began and where your sterile field ended, correct?
Right.
They're trying to use this anomaly, which is it is, without having a gauged platform or field in order to do their test.
Mm-hmm.
So either way they go, they're going to be skewed, because if they don't know where their sterile field is, they don't know what's contained and what's not. If they don't, and they are, let's say they do, then they can't prove how they calculated from a quantum physicist theorem of what's included and what's not included.
Right.
So you almost actually have to do it both ways. Then it would be like running a scan with contrast and without.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then you have both parameters. Once you have both parameters, then you can turn it into a Bayesian algebraic formula. And if you could turn it into a Bayesian algebraic formula and get something to equal to get something on the left side and on the right side to balance from, then you empirically could validate it and then start your hypothesis and then actually, create something. But otherwise, the very best you're going to do is write papers that people are going to undo and pee in the wind.
Well, let's see if his, I think it's seven principles, seven principles to his theory.
The fifth one's the problem.
Huh? The fifth one.
Fifth one's the problem.
Yeah, so let's go through them and see if he's got anything going for him. Okay.
And now, do you want this from a bantering position, or do you want it agreed and then approved?
Bantering.
Ion? Sorry?
Bantering.
Gotcha. And I would like to do it rather than waiting to the end. Mm. I'd like to make little clips as we go along. It'll be hard to flow, but it'll be so much easier in your recording when you listen to it again.
Okay, number one, what we perceive as reality is a process that involves our consciousness. An external reality, if it existed, would by definition have to exist in space. But this is meaningless because space and time are not absolute realities, but rather tools of the human and animal mind.
Well, leave the beast out of it.
Yeah.
And you're hitting here again. See, as we explained it before, they're using a false premise to negate a premise. Mm. It's a false premise. If it's going to work, you've got to leave that out of it altogether. The continuum is the issue. And if it's outside of the consciousness, then it can't be a continuum. Because they're saying that the realities that are outside of your reality aren't real.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
So
there you go. You got to go with contrast and without contrast. And when you run physical without contrast, that's non-physical. Okay? Then you can validate it from physical with non-physical that's involved, and you can find that the contrast is the point of your consciousness that is.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's going to be how you, if you want to play it that way, perfect words, but you got to run it both ways. Now, we would say you can't have it both ways, but in this particular empirical reference, you must have it both ways because they're undoing their very creation by their place of not accepting the parts that are and basing the reason Victrola is broken, the reason that their position does work is because of a false premise.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see, you took a perfect x-ray, but you had the wrong patient on the table.
So you're saying you have to run it both ways. You mean
yes.
Through the physical and through the non-physical.
And that'll become then your quantum reality of outside and inside your quote-unquote consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So good. But actually, we answered the question before you did number one, but number five will be your zinger, but keep going.
Our external and internal perceptions are inextricably intertwined.
At what level? Only in physical, okay?
Mm. You mean they're saying only in physical?
No, they should be saying only in physical. We're bantering what they're saying.
Got it. Continuing, they are different sides of the same coin and cannot be divorced from one another.
But they are.
But they are what?
Divorced from one another.
Explain. Go further.
Okay. You have a meat sack body.
Mm-hmm.
You also have non-physical inside.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit man. Okay? Your labyrinth of a mind lets you know what your reality is and which conundrums you're going to take on today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you choose to exit stage left...
Mm-hmm.
And you check out of your body,
mm-hmm.
your non-physical is divorced from your meat sack. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it is divorced, but not, it is divorced. And they're saying it's not divorced. It has to be apart. Yes, as long as you are retaining your physicality.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's going to be very significant because the nucleus of the cells, the RNA, the acid that's making DNA
mm-hmm.
and replicating those cells, that's going to be a very key point when you start your chromosome work of validating your eternalness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that gets really key. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were a stem cell research professor... And you listen to this, you would probably come to a place quickly through the 13th chromosome
mm-hmm.
that you would have an aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you would realize that the meat sack part is an incredulous variable which is so close to replicating itself that everyone on the planet is a clone that it's just mind-bogglingly... innocuous to the place that makes every human being on the planet different.
Okay, you're going to have to explain some of that.
I know, but that's okay. But that's another day. But we just gave you a great deal of insight right there on that red hot second.
Right.
The point of that the cell structure of the meat sack without non-physical is still pretty groovy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to figure out a way to keep the meat sack part going without the non-physical.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, that's when your heart, there'll be no more donors. They'll just grow, it'll be homegrown
mm-hmm.
organs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's fun. You're making the beast are being born to eat. So it's not a problem. We don't have a problem with it. We're good. You know, grow you a liver. It's not a problem. It's fine.
So when someone someone transitions and their spirit goes, they'll be able to keep the meat sack going?
No, they'll take the basal structure that they're trying to disprove from a falsehood so that science can't undo it and build it to such a place that when you are born,
mm-hmm.
that what is the cord that comes from the placenta?
Umbilical cord.
Yeah, the umbilical cord is there's enough there in that strand as you cut the cord, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, this is not exactly how it is attached to the afterbirth in that whole process, so there's a little bit of, you have some contamination, so you got to do it right then as you're doing it.
Uh-huh.
But there's enough right in that umbilical cord, in and of itself, to beginning from that point to create a backup spare part body for you.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And if what they're talking about here, they're trying to disprove it. Divorce, they say they can't be divorced. And we're saying they are divorced after you check out of your non-physical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in your process, you will have capacity. You're the marvelous creators. You can go ahead and grow you a spare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right out of the chute. Now, you'd say, no, that's just insane. No, you can't do that. Well, sure you can.
That's like blood, saving your blood.
Hey. Yeah, pre-doning.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't think it was going that far down the rabbit hole, did you?
We get a lot of topics there to go back to. The behavior, this is number 3. The behavior of subatomic particles, indeed all particles and objects, is inextricably linked to the presence of an observer. Without the presence of a conscious observer, they at best exist in an undetermined state of probability waves.
Nope, not at all. We have empirical reference proof. You want that?
Yes.
You are unconscious, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You take the big number 10 skillet and you whack Bob in the head, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bob is unconscious. Do we agree?
Yeah.
Okay. Bob's cellular structure is still doing what Bob's cellular structure has always done, except for the concussion or whatever state that you use to make him unconscious. Propofol is real handy for that, too. You know, give him a good shot of propofol. That'll good. He'll sleep good. Okay? Once you're in the unconscious place, mm-hmm. induced or otherwise, you're anatomic or atomic, the atomic structure of your anatomical being
mm-hmm.
is still doing what it always does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are still creating, you're still having renal function, if you're not in AFib, you're still pumping blood, you know, everything's still clicking along, you're just unconscious. Well, they're saying that you have to be conscious or have someone conscious to notice, or you are not. And guess what? If you whack Bob in the head and make him be unconscious and he falls on the floor and you go to the beach and no one's there to witness or present, he's still unconscious and his atomic structure is still completing itself. Even though he is outside of himself, from a conscious state of being.
Right. Now, they're talking about subatomic particles and all.
So are we.
But I think they're talking about it in terms of how they're shooting electrons and neutrons and protons around and all
yeah,
that business.
Yeah, but they're chit-chatting about that. They're talking about it just like Gene Roddenberry did and said, you know what, we're going to be able to beam people from the spaceship down to the Earth and on and on and on. They're a long way from even recognition of a subatomic anything.
Mm-hmm.
They've just barely, just not quite have it figured it out. Oh, wait, they do surgery with chainsaws. No, they're not
mm-hmm.
quite there yet, okay,
mm-hmm.
of even getting the anatomy correct, let alone the atomic level.
Mm-hmm.
And now you want to go to subatomic level? That's kind of like, okay. We want to judge this electricity before it comes into our house to make sure that it is pure.
Right.
So we'll do it from a subatomic level. Well, you don't even know how it works to start with, so how are you going to break it down into a subatomic or a nanostructure? Then the new topic that you're going to hear, you haven't heard it yet because we haven't figured it out, but we're going to say it out loud, so you're on your own. And here it goes. It's called a super nano cellular, it's a new word, biotopography.
Mm-hmm.
Biotopography.
Mm-hmm.
And they may twist that around just a little bit, but that's the gist of it. And it's where they begin the process, just like this little anomaly is trying to be broadcast here to be disproven, so it
mm-hmm.
can't be disproven, so it is.
Mm-hmm.
What they're going to try to do is to map the genome substrata.
Mm-hmm.
And once they do that, they can then tweak it as they go, so you don't have to have sugar diabetes, so you don't have to have this anomaly or that anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
It's all basic from a basic stratus of your own adjusting itself. And it introduces these cells, subatomic nuclei. Now that's going to be a big catchword too. Subatomic nuclei to basically take the protease inhibitors and apply them to whatever it is that's out of place. Meaning, if you're having scoliosis, they just simply give you a drop of this, and then all of a sudden that readjusts and corrects itself. Let's say you're prone to what is it Sally Field has with your osteoporosis, and you do this, bam, there you go. You'll no longer have to irradiate and kill someone's marrow in order for a marrow transplant
mm-hmm.
to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
Basically killing the immune system so that the immune system will accept the foreign marrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they have to do. Well, now you don't have to no longer have to do that if you can just add to. And, you know, it's very interesting because it's very delightful what they're finding out. They're trying to cure or eradicate what you call HIV.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the very thing that's going to give them the insight to implement these super nanostructures. Because see the retroviral base of how those are reproduced, those cells are reproduced,
mm-hmm.
and they can't kill it, they can't stop it. Once it starts, it starts. It starts. Once it is, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a perfect insulated way of putting the correct cell in and letting it reproduce, so that the other cells don't have room to.
Mm-hmm.
That's 25 cents worth right there, Misty.
Yeah. Wow.
Because there's just massive research going on regarding it,
mm-hmm.
but they've got to figure out how far it'll go before it kills you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before, remember in the beginning of days, there was a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it any human creator got a hold of it? And they were like, well, you know what? This isn't so comfortable, but you don't have to die.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you don't die. Now they went from one day it was terminal, and the next day, oh, you don't have to die from it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, what was the change? Did the ozone patching work? Did that stop it from happening? Is that how the new... Here we go. They call it an anti-retroviral.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. An anti-retroviral.
Mm-hmm.
So now these drugs that they would create that would stop the replication of certain cells that are going to be there forever anyway... If you could drop in the things that you wanted to replicate, your own, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Will that not change immunology of the day eternally?
Yeah, it could, very well could.
Well, think about it from the dynamic of that's the whole, the thing they're trying to stop the HIV from doing is the very thing that if they knew what to put it and make the HIV replicate the correct thing, you've got a winner, because nothing will kill it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ta-da.
Yeah, very good. Bob was coming in and unmuting himself. Did you have a question on that, Bob?
No,
he's good for now. Very good. Okay.
All right. Now, then we were clear on, we went on a bit, but we were clear on the number three issue at hand.
Well,
that's the reason we asked again, because we didn't think you were. What did you not get? And we'll do that part.
Well, you took subatomic, right into the human body.
Yeah.
Which is,
well, it is.
I mean, if we're talking about death, that's where we have to talk about it.
Yes.
But, yeah, it seemed that he was jumping into the subatomic, physics stuff. And
right. But if you're not conscious, you're not aware of it, so it can't be, according to him.
Right.
So outside of that, how's it going to work?
Right.
That was why we did it to the body, just because that's the dynamic that he had to, you had to be in the woods when the tree fell to gauge whether or not it made a sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd be cheeky and we'd say, so if a bear moves his bowels in the woods, does it stink? If you're not there to smell it. And you go, well, what does that have to do with anything? And we'd say, exactly, it really doesn't make much difference. It's not the deal breaker that they would make it a point of collusion in his work.
Okay, number four. Without consciousness, matter dwells in an undetermined state of probability.
Define probability.
Okay, probability, they have a link to it, and it just goes to Wiki. Probability is a way of expressing knowledge or belief that an event will occur or has occurred.
Bam, there you go. So they've left it in the hands of the creator. Okay, we're good with that, but not for the reasons that they lay out, you see.
Right. So let me put that in there, and then it's so it started with, without consciousness, matter dwells in an undetermined state of probability. Any universe that could have preceded consciousness only existed in a probability state.
Now that's a very interesting dynamic, and we can't just throw that out the window and go, nah, that's a bunch of hooey, you can't go with that, because each individual human creator is the center of their own universe.
Mm-hmm.
So if one hasn't come forth yet, and then here's where it gets to be an anomaly, when is it that you are not?
Uh-huh.
So therefore, all of them have to be gauged and in place always.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, because you don't get rid of a universe, you can't uncreate anything, and you don't even know when you started, let alone when your world started.
Mm-hmm.
So all the different individual universes have to be already in place.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're constantly having to kill a universe and start a new one, and kill a universe and start a new one. And we've already been pretty clear that that's not exactly how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, we didn't give you the full Monty version because you didn't want to know how the babies got born. You just wanted to know what the process was in likeness. But that will come in time. So make a little notation. We're getting ready. But the point of the references are from the We like Plato's version of reality better.
Mm-hmm.
Plato's version of reality comes from a stance of beingness.
Okay.
Or if you want to keep playing with that, you can do the Iliad. Of these worlds are beyond you, the worlds are below you, you are in the world. You engage with other worlds.
Mm-hmm.
That was very clear. And they didn't understand it, but that was very clear. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Senate that would meet, the Roman Senate that would meet, they were there representing the worlds of the empire.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their point. That was their function and their point. So they recognized these other universes, but they recognized them as always are. See, so if you have one of the senators, he represents this particular universe, world. Now, in the Roman, in the Greek translations, it's more pronounced that way, but rather than just a senator, because what you know as a senator is just somebody who drinks alcoholic beverages and has casual sex on a basis that the government pays for. Well, then that's the same thing with what happens with a pimp, but we don't want to be cheeky, but we're trying to softly say what you think a senator is not what they recognized senator, being a senator it was in the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in that place, then, you have to consider that each empirical universe is.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no beginning and there is no end. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
We would say, Bob would say, bees. Yes, okay, yes, bees. They bees.
Mm-hmm.
Those universes, bees. Okay, fine. Now, if you're going from the next layer, and what was the second part that they were trying to drive home?
Or any universe that could have preceded consciousness only existed in a probability state.
Belief. Because remember, probability from Wiki is a belief.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure, you see, they undid it. They undid their words as quickly as they got them out of their mouth. So,
right. We're
like, oh, okay, good. Yeah, if you believe it that way, that's fine.
Yeah, so it's like they're saying, well, there has to be all these universes, and yes, these universes are probable. So that.
Well, and the only thing that makes them probable is whether or not you believe them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're jiggy with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One second. And number five. The structure of the universe is explainable only through biocentrism. The universe is fine-tuned for life, which makes perfect sense as life creates the universe, not the other way around. The universe is simply the complete spatio-temporal logic of the self.
Well, temporal logic, what do they mean? What is temporal logic? Are they tempering?
Yeah, I think it's space-time, temporal, spatio-temporal logic.
Well, spatio-temporal-logical is not logical. Because it says, well, it's not logical. Think about what they're saying. That in a temporal lobe, a reality is. And if in a temporal lobe a reality is, then therefore that's the resonance that it proceeds. Well, if it's proceeded by, then it is. No different than saying, Carolyn, what do you want? And you say, Ion, I want this. And we go, okay, why do you want it? And you have it all laid out, not from a place of lack, but from an abundant place of how delicious it would be to have this experience in your world and reality. We'd say, great, Carolyn, we can't help you with that because we're just non-physical. But what we can tell you, though, is that right now, this red hot minute, you are now attracting the vibrational stance in your temporal lobe that brings that, draws that, magnifies that, to such a degree that it is quickly on its way to you.
Mm-hmm.
Bam! Creation 101, 3, 2, 1, liftoff. And if you use it that way, we have no problem with it. But that's far from what they're trying to say. They're trying to say that that the catchwords are correct. The glibness of it is just right on. But when you start diagramming the phrasality from the dynamic that they're trying to lay out, they're trying to say that the worlds are created from the individual. We agree. But then not the other way around. But the point of that is that it's about the manifestation has to be secured through the universe. And we say, no, not so much. You're the center of that individual universe. So if what they're saying is true, then you got to get a stamp of approval from the head of the universe, of your universe.
Right.
And we say, yes, that's true, but you are the one with the rubber stamp.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of, it trivializes the whole point after about 2.3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have time. You might as well have a time limit.
Right. So let me see if I understand what you're saying. The structure of the universe is explainable only through bicentrism. The universe is fine-tuned for life, which makes perfect sense that life creates the universe, not the other way around. The universe is simply the complete spatio-temporal logic of the self. So you're saying...
We say yes, exactly, but not for the reason that they give.
So it's like they're saying the universe is simply the complete space-time logic of the self. So it implies that they're making the universe a bigger than the self.
Well, that it has to be validated. Your experience has to be validated from itself.
Mm.
And not the other way around. That there is a potential for another way around is the process that where they drop off the wagon.
Your experience has to be validated from itself.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me examples so I can get that better?
Sure. And we're not trying to add words to their dimension. We're just trying to clear it up a little bit. Okay. You have a desire for a house. Okay? And you visualize it from your conscious level of your universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have plans, and you draw them out, you work them out in your mind, you paint it, you buy furniture for it, you make it fit. It works out all in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Then it comes time for creation. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In your universe, if you haven't worked it out in your mind, it can't be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What they're saying is that it has to be done that way, and we agree, but then they're saying within the dimension of the larger universe, the only way you can have that house is if it's been created already in your universe.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, yeah, that's right, but they're saying no, that their planning board of your universe, your building committee, your permit office has to approve it. And we say, no. Doesn't work like that. That's the example. They're saying that the way you create that is because you go to your planning board and they stamp and say, yeah, you can build that. You have to have validation outside of your consciousness of your universe in order for it to be. Now, it's a great example of creation by default. You walk into a house, it's already built, everything's decided, everything's chosen, everything's done, and you line yourself up with it.
Mm-hmm.
You buy the house, you move in, it's your house. Great. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the creation of a house, not just stepping into one already done.
Mm-hmm.
Cookie-cutter universes is what you'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with it. It's just not what they're talking about. I mean, their dimension doesn't preclude creation by default.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And had they added that little dynamic, we'd have said, right on.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're to the fun one.
You're right. So, creation by default sort of blows that out of the water. Okay. Yeah, that I get. Okay. Number six.
Number five. That's number five. We're waiting on number five.
That was number five.
Well, that's the deal breaker then.
The structure of the universe is explainable only through bicentrism. Yeah, that was number five.
Well, the creation by default is the problem. But we thought we were going to have a much worse problem with that than we did.
Mm-hmm, okay. Well, I...
Maybe in non-physical we talked ourselves out of it. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if I might have to get Bob in there to flail away at this one, because I don't know that I could explain that, number five.
Okay, let's try it. Let's go at it a simpler way. If you have a disease, we'll do it for medical. They're saying that if you have a disease, you can't have it outside of your universe, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And we say, right. Very good. Perfect words. No problem. We agree. But then they go into the next phase, and you can read their words, the second part.
And that is, the universe is fine-tuned for life, which makes perfect sense as life creates the universe.
Right. Now, once it's fine-tuned for life, then you got to go, wait a second. So when they get on the TV, Chip Body, they get on the radio, whichever body that is, Bob's Bastard Children, Bob's Bastard Boys, as we call it, then they get into this place to where they introduce these new means that you engage. Well, if it's fine-tuned for life, why would you ever tune in to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma?
Mm-hmm.
You see, they're giving more warrantship to the universe than the individual human creator. They're just left with it. It's what's left instead of what's right. Is that softer that way?
People are left with what's left. Yeah.
No, they can instead of choosing what's right, they're left with what's left.
Mhm. Okay. Yeah.
Bob will beat it to death. Don't you worry, honey.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Then
Bob actually will beat it to life.
Yes. Number six, time does not have a real existence outside of animal sense perception. It is the process by which we perceive changes in the universe.
There's just no time. Don't even worry about it. Don't even include it. You just confuse the issue. Mm-hmm. Make it be no. Don't even make it timeless, because then you got to establish that there's time, that it's timeless.
Yeah.
So, right. You know, it's like, there is no problem in Russia, especially in Chernobyl. Well, to make that kind of a statement, if there wasn't a problem in Chernobyl, they certainly wouldn't use their words to create that there is no problem. There just wouldn't be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Just like polio, we wouldn't be talking about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
And then it looks like they do the same thing with space. Space, like time, is not an object or a thing. Space is another form of our animal understanding. It does not have an independent reality. We care.
They didn't.
Go ahead.
They didn't say anything. They didn't say anything. That's like saying there is no space. Well, yes, there is, because you just made a space.
Mm-hmm.
If there is none of it, then you got to recognize what it is so you can recognize whether or not you have none of it or not.
Mm-hmm.
There is no lack. Well, if there is no lack, you got to know what lack is to know if there isn't any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Bob says that's too many negatives. Okay, we'll get it back on the other side. If you're going to acknowledge of trying to explain what something isn't, mm-hmm. you first have to recognize what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's based on a false premise, you better just leave it alone, because you're going to get yourself down a rabbit hole that you most certainly will not get out of, because the only answer, the only anomaly, the only conundrum that's answerable is from your place of lessness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you can't get there from there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That was very good. This is well thought out. These words are, from them, are good. I mean, they're good because it's that leading edge of questioning. We have no problem with that. We're just cleaning up a little bit.
Because
mm-hmm. it's not atrocious.
Yeah.
Well, except for the time and the space and the continuum and the regions of default or the beingness and the concept is drawn from. You've got to understand, if you get to the place from what you call, what we are starting to learn as ascension,
mm-hmm.
if you get to the place where you're ascended, mm-hmm. or in that ascended place, these questions don't come up.
Mm-hmm.
You just empirically know the answer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that softer?
Yeah. Got it. That's good.
So they're not bad words. They're just, it's just not evolved words.
And then the last sentence of number 7 is, we carry space and time around with us like turtles with shells. Thus, there is no absolute self-existing matrix in which physical events occur independent of life.
Yeah.
Poet. He just wanted. Yeah, he wanted to be a poet at the end.
Well, that's okay. No problem with that. It's just, does the turtles, is it like the rings of a tree? That's another growing season. And so you cut the stump down and count how many rings, and that'll tell you how many seasons bark
yeah,
you have.
Right.
Well, if you want to do that, yes, but when do you do that? If you're the turtle and they have to cut you in half to see how old you are, then you aren't anymore. So they're not, they don't care how old they are. They just soon be. You see? So yeah, we'll be a poet too. Yes, we'll cut all the turtles in half, then we'll know exactly how old they are, and that's great, but you'll single-handedly get shed of all turtles in the process. Or no, you'll double the turtles because you have them all.
Hey. Okay, so that's the 7. Now, you know, then they go into, you know, the fours and against, and Deepak Chopra waves in and says, Lanza's insights into the nature of consciousness are original and exciting. His theory of biocentrism is consistent with the most ancient wisdom traditions of the world, which says that consciousness conceives, governs, and becomes a physical world. It is the ground of our being.
The same person who says that you have the DNA of a banana.
That's true. He does. And then they make reference at the end to solipsism, which is the physiological idea that one's own mind is all that exists. But I mean, this is really not solipsism. So that's sort of enough of an overview, and I think Ian gave us a good run on it. Bob, do you want to
join us
now?
No, I couldn't follow any of it. I'd have to re-listen to this. It went long.
We even gave you pointers, Bob, that you would certainly be able to beat this to live. So.
Well, I was making the bed, so I can only do half a thing at a time.
Well, good for you, Bob. If you're going to have time, you might as well have it limiting for you.
Right. I would need to look at that, what you're looking at, as you read it, like Karen did. I couldn't hear the sentences. I didn't know what the sentences were saying.
Okay.
I was looking at
that's
it.
Fine. And that's great, because it's fun, because it's just in its beginning places of trying to be...
something, yeah.
Oh, it sounded very impressive.
As a meme.
What'd you say?
Established as a meme.
To de-establish?
Yeah.
To de-establish the... What are we doing, Karen?
It's a good start. Biocentrism, what this guy's doing, is a good starting place to de-establish this as a meme.
Yeah, to nail it. Yeah, I was...
Unnail it?
You mean, so it can't be nailed down, it can't be stable.
It's all ethereal, and it's all in this woo-woo place that you're using, and it's all wrapped in false premises, so you just make conundrum after conundrum, and you can't get there from there, and it's unanswerable if you have to add time, and you have to add space, and you have to add congealing to make these references what you're basing your knowing on, then your field of probability, see, is just screwed because you have no litmus to tell the difference between which is lies and which is memorex. But then after about a second, we'd say, why do you care? Why does it matter? So that's why we say it's a de-establishment.
Yeah, I was impressed with Ayan's ability to keep on talking and responding to it, even though I didn't know what he was saying. But I'd half agree that it's ridiculous. But now, I guess the interesting...
Well, it's
way
a good starting
here.
Place.
Yeah, my interesting point to me is how come humans... They make up the stuff because they haven't been ascended. So it's a lot of garble if you're not ascended. So we've got a lot of information being made by unascended man. This is the Inveco cycles. We're in the age of democratic man, where democratic man gets to spew off his ignorance all the time, all over the place.
Did you say in vitro or in vitro?
No, Vico, Guy Battista Vico, around 1700.
Well, we like in vitro.
Yeah, because they're becoming.
Yes, that's very good. They're in vitro. They're not wrong. They're just in vitro.
Well, as McLuhan said, young people were vegetables. It takes long, slow growth to get them out of the vegetable stage.
Yes, as long as, especially if they're organic.
Yes, and so Vico had three cycles, which are very interesting. He said he had the golden age where man was aristocratic. Maybe gods. And then the next level was the age of...
They still are.
Right. And then you had the age of heroes, where men ran around mining heroes. So you had gods and then heroes and then democratic man, which Joyce was seeing Vico's cycle happening, that third phase in the 19th, early 20th century. Then you go into a period of chaos, and the cycle goes around again. So Joyce,
is a democratic one that they've tried out first as a demo.
Yes, they try it out. It doesn't work. It goes into chaos.
As opposed to autocratic.
Yes, and then we go into the chaos. We're in that now, and out of this, we will start the cycle again and start off as gods. So Ion is here.
Chaosocratic.
What?
Chaosocratic.
We come out of that into the theocratic. Yes, so the gods was the theocratic, and then maybe the heroes was autocratic, and then the democratic. And then the recursal period, the period of chaos, is the interval before we start over again, a new theocratic. And I see Ion is bringing in a new kind of theocratic, a new level of godliness as we move out of the chaos.
Let's call it an intocratic.
Into?
Intocratic, intercourse.
Intocratic. Uh-huh. Yeah, the overlapping of everybody's...
Well, the into yourself, that you don't have to worry about everybody else's demo because your intocratic is enough.
Right.
Leave everybody else out of the process. Then you can get your questions, and they're wonderful questions. It's wonderful engagement because the play, the interplay of the meme of the moment, and we beat that very well. I mean, you know, you beat that thing to death, no problem.
We beat what to the death, Carol?
It lands.
Okay, yeah.
So then you're in this dimension of coming, becomingness. If we could do this work from this description of becomingness, we love it. It's wonderful, delicious, fabulous, great, good. Because the becomingness is what makes you even delve into the questions, to even have an opinion within your own theocracy.
Okay.
See, it's got to gel with your own theocracy, or it'll get thrown out by the Council of Nicaea or the papacy, or pick somebody. They'll have issue and start a war and kill you quick. But if it doesn't matter, it doesn't come up, then you're good. Because, you see, you don't have to prove your points like this folks are trying to establish. You don't have to prove the points. It's a good example. This is perfect. They're trying to prove their knowing based upon their ideology that is judging them to come to these conundrums that come into this linear string of sentences that brings that into validation. So they're trying to use their false premise to vindicate and validate why they don't understand and how things are limited to these dynamics that they're laying out. Nothing wrong with the words, they're just based on false premises.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I was talking about the Android meme and technologies favoring people living in their own little tube, as in the Matrix movie. So the doctrine, the concepts proposed by Ion that we go intocratic into our own space supports the Android meme seduction of man into his little virtual computer test tubes.
Yes, but here's the problem. that little test tube that you're trying to get everybody to get into so you can cork them up,
yeah,
is an entire world, is an entire universe.
Well, wait, let's hold up. Yeah, of course, that's what the point is. You live inside, like Neo in the Matrix tube, it was an entire world he lived in. So what's your point?
Yeah. The point is that's what you do anyway.
But what
that's
is
the
it that you're
is.
Saying is an entire world?
That is. The little test tube that you're using the words to describe, the little test tube, is not a little test tube. It's an entire world.
Oh, okay. So in actual fact, people are inside a huge test tube.
Yes, their so own world.
Their own world. All right. So you have the technological proving of it or squaring of it or rubbing it into you. Okay, you're in your own world. Well, we'll put you in your own world technologically. I know Ion's not for that, but we might want to point out, Ion might want to point out to the audience that they're not getting people to believe that they should live in their own little world to support the Android meme.
They can't even agree on who the sitting president should be.
Right. So Ion doesn't have to worry about how people interpret what it's saying.
Gracious, no, because they're going to figure they'll rub it out ever how they want to, like every good orgasm. They'll work on it.
They rub out orgasms?
Yes.
You mean they forget about them? Is that what you mean?
No, rub out, not erase. They engage until they are.
So they have an orgasm? Is that what you're saying?
Correct, yes.
And what's the point of bringing that message?
That you don't have to worry about. They don't have to understand our take on it. They'll have their own orgasms despite us, not physical.
All right, so Ion then...
They'll figure if their bliss will be achieved regardless. And just because they haven't got it to read this red hot minute doesn't mean they won't. They mostly will. And there is no great big problem with it because it's just like the last meme of the moment, the momentary meme. Gosh, you ought to make a word out of that. Didn't Marshall make one? A new word for the meme of the moment?
You call it word of the year.
All right, then good. Then there you go. And they make that word of the year, man of the year.
Yeah, word of the year, man of the year. Not year. Anyway, so you were saying the meme of the day. What about the meme of the day?
That this is a meme that comes along that people embrace.
What is a meme? What's the meme?
That you live in a tube in your own universe, that you are in your own universe.
Okay, so Ion is saying we don't... Ion doesn't care how people hear Ion. They're going to get it wrong anyways. So what is Ion's purpose? Just to put it on the record for those that might get Ion?
Oh, no. No. As you have queries, quandaries, within you have access to non-physical, within you. And you also have access to non-physical via us. And if you would like to run it down the flagpole or put your bucket into the well and draw your own water up, we'll be happy to provide the rope to get you to the information. So we hopefully would allow you to come into your own beingness through this all day, every day, of getting you to the fastest path of your joy. And if that has to be done through whatever process you'd like to call of the moment, okay? You went through several earlier. Those are all great.
When was the earlier? 2 weeks ago or half an hour ago?
Half hour ago,
okay.
When you got the bed made.
I went through what process then?
Autocratic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Vico stuff?
No, Bob.
You mean Carolyn's physics stuff?
No,
what
Bob.
What did we go through? Don't know
what did you go through? You need to stay with us if you're going to get...
No, we went through Carolyn's physics, then we did the Vico, and now we're doing this. So what is...
Well, before, after Vico, you went through the process. We talked about democratic, we talked about...
That's the Vico.
Autocratic.
That's not the before or after Vico, that is the Vico phase.
Okay, then that is the Vico phase, so that's what that was.
Yeah, now you're saying you were referring to that. Now we know what you're referring to. What's your statement about it?
I have no idea. Lost it. Gone.
Okay, well, Carolyn, which towel is your towel? Is it the same white one?
What are you talking about?
I'll show you.
We're in the towel phase now, Ion.
Okay.
We have one of these for you and one of these for me, right?
Correct. There, the hand one.
Okay, so ion can't remember. Well, the thing I was pointing out was ion is indifferent to how people respond to ion. So what, who is ion addressing?
Anyone who asks.
And then did you define 5 minutes ago what would be the effect if someone asked ion?
Well, they will have a resonance with their very own non-physical.
Right, whereas if they ignore ion and go into the matrix tube, that general...
They'll have a resonance with their non-physical.
Either way.
Either way.
Okay, so what, it doesn't matter whether they get in touch with ion or not.
Correct. It does not matter. And if the point of it is, or what our job is we, as we said it, just we don't have to repeat that again because we just said it before, if you hadn't forgotten already, that the job is to bring the physical, non-physical through the labyrinth, not offending the labyrinth of your mind, so that you can become the ascended man that Thoth was so proud of with this tablets of corundum that would allow you to figure this out. And it's not some big anomaly or secret that's being withheld from the marvelous creators. The answer has been given from beginning forward, and you don't want to embrace or engage it. Some do, some don't, so what? And when they do, it's certainly available and providable for their pleasure and for their creation extraordinaire.
Okay, so you said doesn't matter, they have their non-physical, have access to that. Then you brought in this level of understand, something about something to understand. That's the labyrinth of the mind?
No, like, you don't want to offend the labyrinth of the mind.
Okay, so what was the purpose again, Carolyn? Did you take it? Is it, what's the purpose of ion? To turn someone off to on?
As he's always said, to help people resonate with their physical, non-physical labyrinth of their mind.
Okay, so it doesn't matter if they do or not. But then ion is applying it. Well, this would help you, but help them do what? What is it that you get from ion?
The ascension.
You don't get that in the matrix tube?
No, you get to stay in the tube.
Oh, okay, so you don't get ascension in the matrix tube. That sounds platonic, doesn't it? That's, Plato applies that, I think.
Well, he does. Very yeah. Good. We started there. Okay.
So ascension is denied those who remain in the matrix tube, but that doesn't matter. When they die, they go into non-physical and they can be in limbo eternity, and they might even get to the guff if they don't challenge, if they
get past the judgment.
Pass the challenge, the judgment. Right?
If they have to die.
No, they might be made immortal. They'll just be forced to stay alive.
Hey, there's no death.
Well, we know that, but for those in the matrix, they assume they'll pass on, but then the scientists will make wonderful drugs and they'll stay alive, they'll stay in the body forever.
Yes, the difference in the matrix and in playing with ions is outside of the matrix, in that same world, you get to go visit the oracle, and the oracle gives you insight that you already know. Well, what does the oracle tell you? You got to figure it out for yourself, okay? Boy, whooping deal. The oracle told me I wasn't the one and that I had to figure it out for myself. Well, then I figured it out for myself and I went to see the oracle and said, told the oracle I was the one. She says, now you're on the right path. And you go, well, wait a second. What did I need you for to tell me that? Well, you couldn't remember who you are. Well, I still don't know who I am. That's right, but you're damn sight closer than you were when you started. Would you like a cookie?
Yeah, I know what you're referring to, the matrix tube, but I missed all that because I started off, thought you meant going to the Delphi Oracle, but you were punning on the matrix. So let's try this again. If you don't go in the matrix, you get to go to the Oracle.
No. He was in the matrix.
Yeah, he got to go to the Oracle. I understand that. What's that got to do with Ion?
You don't understand it because that's the whole point. He was in the test tube. He was in the matrix.
Yeah.
Okay? He was in the matrix. But once he started tapping into the non-physical part that was him, Keanu Reeves, once he started coming into the non-physical part that was him, he had the ability or capacity to consider that there was more to him than was. And it was not by default. It was already within him. But if he didn't allow it through the labyrinth of his mind, then he was like every other dumb cluck who was sitting in the test tube somewhere, food for the, where, for, who are those people that came from the place that were,
yeah, the machines, the machines.
The octopusy things that gobbled you up.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but once you started tapping into that and they started plugging you in and out, then what happened is this anomaly happened. This oracle was provided for by the individual human creator. Now, not everybody got to the oracle, okay? And a lot of people that went to the oracle wouldn't give them the time of day. Because they were like, well, you're not even listening. You don't even know the questions. How am I going to help you? If you don't even know who you are, how are you going to believe me when you can't even see me? If you can't understand you, how are you going to believe me?
Yeah.
Okay? So you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. But once that tapping in place came, then the others around Keanu Reeves all of a sudden started to notice, well, maybe he is. Well, maybe he isn't. Well, there was a prophecy. A prophecy. And let's check with the oracle. Let's see how this goes. Let's see if we can get this to the outside the anomaly and in back into paradise. And that's what was used to allow him to come into his place in the matrix, but to be outside of the matrix. Zion is a marvelous reality as long as you don't have to live in a cramped test tube. But the test tube can be your own world and your own universe, which it is, but it doesn't have to be a limiting factor. And with non-physical, then you get access to their, as they portrayed it, the oracle, which always changed, always was different, but always was in that comfortable, warm, lovey-dovey place, the grandmothery version, that you could draw insight to from just having conversation with the oracle. All right, now if that's the representation of non-physical, then that would be a good description of us and our work. But if the asker, which is the most important part, the creator, if they don't know what they want to know, we won't be very effective at helping them because there'll be nothing to answer. But once they tap in, just like you, Bob, you're the best. Still, the best asker that's ever been. There's never in all of creation been a more inquisitive asker. We don't know if you just don't get it and aren't going to get it or like asking the questions. We don't know that. But what we do know is that you're not going to leave it alone until it's completely and thoroughly embraced. And that dynamic alone has increased all of creation.
What I've done has increased all.
Absolutely. The dynamics alone. Most people would just go with the high tops and not worry about it. No. You want to know what kind of tongue is in the shoe. You want to know what kind of laces they are, what they're made out of, why you tie them, why you want them, what they mean, what's significant about them, what happens if you don't wear them, what happens if you do wear them, what happens if you wear them and you don't like them. You go into every dynamic, which is fabulous and superfluous as the dawn of an ascended creator.
Your
words will change.
What? What was that just line?
Superfluous.
No, you said work for a change. What was that last phrase before?
Yes, it'll work for a while until the change. And as you, and you've already started this process perfectly, as you start ascending, you notice that you understand things, which you automatically do, but now all of a sudden, certain vernacular has left even your questioning. Once you got it, a lot of things that come your way, you don't even give any attention to, and you don't even discuss it. You don't even, we ain't even going to have that. You don't even give it that much attention. You just let it be. Because you go, well, they'll figure it out, and we're just going to learn to love everybody, because it's certainly, I want to be a lover who loves, and I don't really care about all that other crap, and, who cares? then it becomes the fun part of creation. You're just now getting creation into a place where it's fun.
Right. Really fun.
Yeah,
so I'm the greatest asker, but that's within the realm of democratic man, where every joker can publish his theory and ramble around from his ignorance. You're saying that I will drop my position of great asker unless I do it as a hobby, because I'll have answers and then we'll have all those questions.
No. Once you get there, then you'll start asking better questions.
Better questions, okay.
Oh, yeah. And then if people think that you're weird now, wait till you become ascended. They won't even get an audience.
They won't even give an audience.
No, get an audience with you.
They won't even get one, meaning
right.
That...
You'll know intuitively what their angle is and whether or not you even want to play with them or not.
Whereas before, I'm not that concerned about that.
You play with anybody.
Oh, I see. I'll get particular.
No, you are particular. You just don't know it.
Right. Okay. So I get particular.
Your bar is pretty low right this hot second.
Yeah. So because I engage with those that I'm actually particular about, I end up just looking, being weird. In the future, I won't engage with them, and they won't even know I'm around.
Well, they'll know. They'll just know they can't get to you.
get to me. Will they still think I'm weird?
They will know. No. Then, see, ascension leads credence to special.
Gives credence to special.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll become more special than weird.
Yes.
Okay, but there was a lot on the Matrix there. I have to listen to that. That was interesting. Just a side thing. How would Ion see the architect role in the Matrix? There may have been the meaning that the Wachowski brothers meant, but what would you call the architect? Or you were describing
the
what they meant
writer.
By the Black Woman Oracle, or that's how you see the movie?
No, ask the question again so we don't misspeak.
Yeah, you were talking about the Oracle and referring to the character in the movie. Were you describing how you see the Oracle, or were you saying that was the role of the Oracle?
That was the role of the Oracle.
Intended by the writers.
Intended by the writers.
Right. So, therefore, you will give us...
Now, the architect...
Well, now, you're going to say your view... And you're going to give us the role as defined by the writers?
No. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes, yeah. That's fair. The architect that they give reference to is the writer of the program. See, and that's where the whole thing kind of gets shaky, because now then the only creations that are available to the individual human creators in the Matrix are those that the architect writes in. And then they go through ones and zeros, and they do it again. And then he gets there, and then they do it again. And it's like they said in there's been 200 of them crazy Matrix movies. So one of them, toward the last one, the architect knew that that was his sixth time through, and that he was going to make the choice one more time, and then he was going to make another choice.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the architect's sixth time through. He knew that it was Neo's sixth time through.
Yeah, that's what we said.
Yeah, but you said he, and you didn't qualify. And those who don't know the movie won't know which he you were referring to.
Yes, and those that don't know the movie don't know the movie. Probably none of that will make much sense, but they might go watch it, and if they didn't, it might make it more interesting for them if they do. So, good.
Okay.
But you're right. The architect is this creator that knows all, sees all, bees all. And we say, no. That's the anomaly. Neo is... the one that knows all, sees all, bees all.
The architect's just a worker?
He's just the program. He's the one and zero. He just writing code.
Based on what he's given to write.
Well, correct. It's not about creation. See, the chip body's only as good as what the individual human creator puts into it. Even though a human creator created it, it all has to be processed. Well, if it's processed, then you may get it. I'm sorry, your web page cannot be displayed. You see?
Yeah.
You can't get to it. Well, when would the creator say that? Never. But if it doesn't fit the anomaly of what you're looking for, then it can't find you. Okay? So instead of the Neo looking for the architect, it would be that the architect couldn't find Neo.
Right.
Because he was in the outside parameters of Zion. Well, did the architect not write Zion? Well, if the architect didn't write Zion, then it couldn't exist.
So,
in the way they're portraying it.
Yeah, so the architect is a chip body and Neo is activating his mystery body.
His creator body.
Creator body, and that means it's not a mystery after a while, I guess.
And that's where you're getting very quickly. That's
right.
Where you are faster than you know.
And Carolyn's already there.
Just look at your beginning.
Hey, did you hear that?
And Carolyn's already there?
Well, Carolyn's there, but Carolyn's there at a different place. Carolyn's there for the larger dynamic. You want the bill of particulars, the slightest detail. You want to know if there is a participle, and if there is it dangled? Carolyn is okay with the larger dynamic of the storyline of what's trying to be said, which is not wrong. It's totally different.
And I think of myself as more the general, since she's the particular, in the sense that she has to do that for medicine.
No, she has to do that to let you know when you ask the question, do we eat this or do we do this or what is this and how do we get there? Then she can go into the larger. She has to be versed in everything, Bob, just to keep up with your askings.
Right.
Damn, she even has to keep track of the towels, but in a general stance, not the specific stance. Now, Carolyn, there are two towels here. One is for you and one is for me. Right, Bob? Where are the other towels? They're in the dryer. Okay, why are they in the dryer? Because they were dirty and we had to launder them, and they're fingertip towels, so we replaced them with these. Now, when those come out of the dryer, then they'll be replaced with those, and it makes a circle of life. See, she has to understand that large dynamic where you want to know the bill of particulars specifically. Damn it, where'd they come from? Damn it, where are they going? Damn it, how does this work? Is this how this is going to be? Yes, Bob. So she has to get the big picture, and you have to get the askings of the particulars. We use these towels or not? Yes, Bob, we use those. No, those are just to look at, to decorate. Don't use those. We'll use... See, she's got to get the big picture. And the big picture is that you may tear up that dryer, and she may have to take a screwdriver and take it all apart and put it back together. Well, that's a large dynamic of understanding that she has to know. It's not the particular. She just has to be able to answer your question, which is internal, see, because it's okay. Not a problem. But in your process, as you are ascending, what's happening is you're asking better and better and better questions.
So I always thought I had the big picture and Carolyn dealt with particulars, but she deals with the particulars and the big picture.
Well, she has to give you enough particulars to get you beyond your question. Otherwise, everything stops. Everything stops. You'd go to bed one day and go, I got no reason to get up. I'm good. I don't know. Ain't nobody going to answer my question. I'm going to have questions. This isn't working out. I'm good. Thanks for the fish.
Okay, so I'm into the particulars, Carolyn. So I do the big picture. Carolyn, do I do the big picture at all?
Not so much.
Even though I think I do.
Well, you don't notice it. You don't even give it time of day.
I think I'm focusing on it all the time.
But you understand, if it's not on your stroll to the beach, it's not in your world. You don't get worried with things going on in Hawaii.
I get worried about what things are going on in...
Between your house and the beach.
And between the guff and the physical.
Which is only the ones that are included from your house to the beach and back.
So what? And Carolyn is not...
She has to keep up with where the world is in proportion to your beach.
Yeah, in relation to her beach. Okay,
to be able to answer the question when you ask which way the wind blows, and she has to be able to figure out which way the wind's blowing. If your back's toward the mountain and you're looking south, if the wind's hitting you in the face, it's coming from the north.
Right.
So those large dynamics she has to sift out to get to the bill of particulars, so you can go, oh, okay, I don't get it, but I'll let it be. I'm okay till I can ask another question. So it's the very most minute. You'd be cellular research, and she would be biology research.
Is astrophysics a bigger scene?
Well, quali- clarify what you mean.
Well, okay, why isn't she doing the big picture, astrophysics? That's bigger than biology. But you mean in the ratio. I'm doing cells.
In the ratio.
Yeah,
yes.
I see. Okay.
That's correct.
All right. So
you'd be the bacteria that would cause the virus, and she'd be looking at all the viruses to see which ones would apply.
Yeah, and I thought it was the opposite. She did the particulars, and I did the big biology.
No, she has to have the big picture. She has to have the big picture, or she could never keep up with your questions, Bob.
Okay.
You go from, is this my food? What is it? Do I like it? Yes, Bob. You see, your questions are endless from every dynamic. Hey, Carolyn, what's this white stuff on the beach? That's sand, Bob. She's got to know about everything.
Okay, I got this. Now, Carolyn has left us. Right, Carolyn? You haven't been listening for 20 minutes or something. 10 to 15 minutes. So, your topic is finished. Too tired. You face out. Well, you did. Yeah, you did. You did a good job in the physics. That's, I think, very actually opened up a whole bunch of new stuff that I must look at the particulars of and figure out.
Yeah. There you go. Very good.
Yes.
Exactly. There you go, Bob. Perfect. Good.
Send me the file. No, I'm just going to have to listen to it again. Oh, you mean? Oh, yeah. I'll need to see. Not a rush. But the thing is that Ion's saying that's an example. I've got to go over the reading. You got a big picture from it, Carol? You got a big picture from that carbo. Well, that's pretty good.
Of course.
What did you get
that carbo?
She wouldn't know the particulars till I ask the questions, but she'll be able to answer. She doesn't know what they are right now. But she
and
got,
you'll divide them, and you'll divide them down into the exponential degree of separation to get every even catatonic remark,
yeah.
Which she's not even coming to her world because that you won't ask that question. You see, you'll get that yourself.
So did we?
She doesn't care about the genome. She cares about is it a whole body?
Right. So did Carolyn and I come together to be complementary, to complement this the particular and the big picture?
Well, what do you think?
I guess. The optimistic view is yes.
Or we can't. But we haven't got to the specifics of it just yet, so I can't answer that until I know the every detail of it.
Oh, you're doing me. That's not your view.
Yeah.
You're just doing me right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Carol's like, well, no, I chose you, and you're good. I'll take you.
I'm looking on the particulars of why it happened.
I'll keep you till I decide I want better, okay? But until then, you're going to be number one. But I'll let you know if that changes. And in your position is, well, I don't know how it's worked out yet. Let's get through with it and see. And if I totally and completely understand every dynamic of it, then, of course, it will be validated and vindicated as perfectly wonderful for me.
Right. Okay. Yeah, in other words, I've had the experience. Now I got to work out all the details, determine the whatever of it. The particular
the whatever, yeah, the whatever. That's right, Bob, the whatever.
Okay, so can, are you hearing what we're talking about?
No. I like
watching how it's fine. Yeah, okay. And what would I do? You can't define what I do.
You have to figure out what Ion's trying to say.
I find out how close they got. I figure out how close they got. They got real close. They never caught up, but they got real close. But more than they did a year ago. Right,
yeah.
Ion?
Yes, and here's what's happening for you personally, Bob.
Beg your pardon?
Here's what's happening for you personally. What's happening personally is you're coming into a new place of... We have noticed, and you will notice, as you now are going back through the readings.
Yeah.
The greetings. As you're going back through, look how you've adjusted and changed. Your questions are different now. Your askings are different. The dynamics, the fuller dynamic is even in how you interview people now has changed, not just us, because you've grown very comfortable with your non-physical, which lines up with JW's non-physical, which then allows Ion to be.
Right. I agree with that. First of all, people, since March, April's longtime listeners, they say, you sound more confident now. They have different things, but they're commenting on a change.
There is,
yeah.
And that's what we're pointing out for you. You've no
I've noticed it.
But then you go, nah, I'm just the same old scatterbrain Bob. I don't know nothing.
No, I've changed. I don't go nah anymore. I go, oh, yeah, well, I've changed. Well, I do nah as a, for those that need that, you know.
Good, yeah. Very good. But that's fun, because what's happening is it's opening up a new level for you, because the things that you got, once you get it, you got it.
Yeah.
Okay? It takes a little while, but once you get it, you got it. And nothing on heaven and earth is going to change that once you got it. Now, you may build on it to have an even further, deeper understanding of it. But you see, I mean, we haven't even gotten back to the 9 and 8 yet.
Well, we could do that.
We will. But now we could. No, we can't, because you're not quite there yet. But we will. We've laid it out so much so that it's in your taste range of variety.
Yeah, I was thinking about the other day.
Beforehand, it isn't. You didn't have a taste for it.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was such a thing. So
exactly.
So
your ascension has included, your ascension process has included and precluded many tiered levels of steps that other creators have to feel, they have to know, they feel, they must go through these levels or stages. And you're like, no. Why do we have to go the long way? Why can't we just go straight and get right to it and be very specific? And then if we want to go back, we'll remember. Because we didn't take all these 200,000 turns to figure out that this has got to be a lifelong destination rather than a lifelong journey. So you're moving way fast as a bird flies. That's a good way to describe it. As a map would take you, and then as a bird flies.
Right.
You're not doing it as a bird flies.
Yeah, I'm going as a bird flies. So, but ion is because I have access to ion daily. That's a factor, isn't it?
Yes, because what it does is it wakes up the non-physical part that's you. What if you went in one day? What if? Connie, what if you went one day without asking Carolyn a single question? Not one. Not a single one. And spoke, communicated. I mean, you can't just say, oh, that's no problem. I just won't speak to the heifer today. That's how I'll do it. No. Engage, have communication, but not ask the stuff. Know everything in your dynamic for a day.
Have what? Have me know?
Yeah, every question that came to your mind that you'd say, Carolyn, what about, or do we, or...
Well, actually, you know, I spend a lot of time not doing that. I spend a lot of time talking to her, which turns out to be lecturing or trying to get her to interact on the big picture level, my sense of the big picture level. And she doesn't do that. Well, she listens, which is more than most people, so she might have a few simple things to say. So I don't see myself... the only question I ask Carolyn is, are you listening? Can you hear me?
Okay. What if you knew she was listening and you didn't have to wonder whether or not she
was
listening?
Well, no, there's many times she is.
All right. What if you went a day without asking a single question?
Yeah, well, I don't... I do ask her questions, but I also, in our walk... talk about things. Don't ask a question. I ask a question. Some things, but she gets to talk and I get to talk. So it's not just questions, but there are questions.
No, I absolutely understand, and that's not even the point. The point is the level or degree of your engagement is becoming more fluid.
Yeah, with Ion.
With your wife.
Yes. So I want to say this is that. I now know the jargon of ION. That has helped me ask questions easier, because I know what the answers are.
Yes, so, at that point, your ascension has begun.
Right, so I know the answers, I got them, but then we keep asking questions anyway.
Well, because you're never going to be without questions. We know that. But the degree and level of questioning... You can sieve through millions of words and just have one good question, rather than sifting through thousands of words and having a million questions. That'll hit you about 4 months from now.
I sift through, it's better to sift through a million words and have good questions rather than 1,000 words, which is less time, and have a million questions.
Yeah, because you have a million now unanswered askings rather than having
a few good ones.
Words. Yeah, and okay. Get the whole gist because you just know. So you don't have to ask because you just know.
So,
and that's not a bad thing. It's just that the way your comprehension level is going through the roof. Because like you said, now you've learned ions, our jargon or vernacular. So you know. Now you don't think, you know. I think I know. You know. And you know what the answer is going to be more times than not. And that doesn't mean that sometimes you don't play with us just to see if we'll change up or have a different expression, which you find that many times that we do, and you have great fun with that. But it's from your place of asking.
Yeah, the coal industry led to Rockefellers. Now, they stopped the coal industry in the 19th century. What stopped the coal industry? Well, they didn't. They kept mining coals. It's just an idea.
They mine coal today.
I know. So what I was talking about, the whaling, they convinced somebody, hey, look, you don't keep beating up the whales to get the oil. Just go for oil itself. And now, we kept whaling all through the 20th century, but did that happen in the 19th century? That's why we moved into the oil industry, because to overcome the whaling, to stop the whaling?
Yes.
And I think we were talking about somebody from the future or somebody told somebody. Who was told who had the power to stop it?
Well, that came back, believe it or not, it was some of the ancestry of the Olmsteads through the Vanderbilts had a great play in that.
Oh, and that's in America. For some reason, I was thinking of Britain.
I said the reference. They came from England, but they can see.
Okay, this action, was it done before they came to the United States?
No. Not
the whaling industry, a lot of it came out of the, was around the United States, came out of the boat.
Yeah, because the people that came from other countries, a lot of them were whalers.
Okay, got it. So whaling was here. So the Olmsteads were ones who got the idea. Did someone visit them from the future to give them the idea?
No, it just became supply and demand.
They just needed more, they needed a lot of oil, and they kept killing the whales, but after all it was absurd, they couldn't meet the band because there were not enough whales, so they had to go to something else, correct?
Yeah, they started noticing love handles, and they realized that they couldn't do anything about the love handles, so they decided to look for something else, and then their love handles went away.
Okay.
So they didn't have to whale anymore. And then the great big blubber around their midsection, it magically just melted away and disappeared.
Okay, so...
And it didn't take anybody from the future for them to figure that out. Now, yes, someone could have come said that very words the non-physical just said to you and could have the same plausible deniability for your degree of separation, but the basic short version is they gave their undivided attention to a new aspect that was more effective and had less work and energy and effort into whale blubber oil, and it caught on. Imagine that.
Okay, got it. And was there the stopping of the whaling industry in the 80s, some laws came down.
1880s.
No. There was something happened in the 1980s.
Peter business.
Yeah, Peter Beter. Did someone from the future address somebody on that point?
No.
Okay, just humans realize it's time to stop the...
Humans don't have a clue. They don't even know the difference between love handles
weight index and mass body.
Yeah, they don't have a clue.
What caused the whaling industry to have new restrictions be put on it in the 80s? Why did that happen?
Well, it's silliness because the whales are whales, and they are, and you could kill them all, and it wouldn't make any difference. It wouldn't matter. So we're not going to push against the industry. And we're not going to validate them. It's about as absurd as saying fur coats are bad. Well, why are fur coats bad? Well, you're killing the animals. Well, yeah, you eat a hamburger every day, you're killing animals too. That's fine.
Well, someone said, no, I'm a vegetarian, I don't eat.
Oh, great, but they wear leather shoes.
No, I don't wear leather shoes.
Oh, okay. Well, then you use products and you ride in cars that have different aspects that have human metabolisms in your body.
Right.
Your soap has cloven hoofs ground up in it.
Okay, got it. So the there was no particular intervention to stop the whaling industry in the 1980s or to put restrictions on it.
There are, yes, they did. They'll pass laws about passing laws, Bob, yeah.
They did pass laws in the early 80s.
Sure.
But it wasn't caused by a man from the future or somebody from the future talking to Mr. Rothschild or something.
No.
No, okay.
Gracious, no.
All right, so we'll end on that point, and we are complete.
You're done?
Yeah, I got to do a whole bunch of stuff tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, it was great fun to play.
Yeah, thank you for the physics one. That'll be interesting to listen to again and figure out what it was. Even though it was all a bunch of garble by the scientists, it'd be interesting to see what I push forward.
We hope we softened it a bit. What we wanted to do was soften those words, because they weren't bad words. They were just mostly based on false premises.
Yeah, that's good.
And you can spend the energy to sift all that out. But once you hear, as we were kind of going through it, it just basically broke it down into the lower denominator.
Yeah.
And once you get to the lowest common denominator, fractions are easy.
Right. Now, I don't know if I got the difference about ions and gen. So those that are going to have the ecstasy of being in their matrix tubes will be limited to that. But if you get out of that, then there's a lot of other things you can experience. And that's what ION is offering, a more multi-level experiencing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the reason for ION. It's not just, and you were saying it doesn't matter whether the person get blissed out, they get blissed out anyways. It doesn't matter whether they go to ION or not or understand it, but they need to understand ION if they want to get beyond their limitations of their tube life.
They don't have to, but if it causes a resonance with their non-physical, then a lot of these things that matter will turn into antimatter.
Right, so ION is a probe to see if humans are interested in other things.
Well, the dynamics of the non-physical that they already have, and once you start recognizing it, then we're having deliciously wonderful conversations. As you ascend, remember when we did the tablets? It was just delightful. We were all amazed at thoughts coming through with all these quandaries that answered basically every tentament of life. And then the next thing you know, we're like, well, how do we do this? How do we do this? And then we'd say, oh, we do this. And they go, well, good Lord, if we got to do all that, I don't know if this ascension business is worth it. I mean, this is a lot of work. No, it's not. It's actually kind of simple. It's the next logical step. You just haven't gotten quite to that fork in the road to decide. That's the answer.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, ION.
Very, very good. We will play when you want to play.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
Thank you.